Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
So listen, next we're going to a new report that was released earlier today by the Health Research Board. It shows that the amount of people treated for problem alcohol use last year was the highest that it has been for over a decade. The number of alcohol treatment cases rose by 10% between 2022 and 2023. Well, to discuss these findings, I'm joined by Addiction Counsellor Michael Guerin and Dr. Garrett McGovern, Medical Director and Addiction Specialist at the Priority Medical Clinic in Dundrum, and you're all very welcome. Garrett, I will just begin with you. As someone, a doctor who specialises in addiction services, are you surprised by the figures in today's report? Are they corresponding with what you've been seeing through your work?
Very much so, Derval, yeah. I think I was just saying to your researcher before I came on today that in the wake of COVID, we saw initially when lockdowns happened, very, very few people come for treatment. And then there was almost like a rebound in a huge number of cases. And I think COVID unearthed an alcohol problem in people who probably were drinking hazardously, and also new cases of alcohol problems. It was a very, very tough time for the nation. I think everybody would agree. It was a very stressful and challenging time. It's hard to know whether these figures are related to that. One of the things I would say is I looked at the number of cases, 8,163. I was actually surprised how low that figure was in terms of the numbers actually accessing treatment. There is without doubt far more than 8,000 people in this country, I'm pretty convinced, who need treatment for alcohol problems. It's a widespread issue.
And do you think that, looking at the figures in the report, do you think it's suggesting that alcohol usage levels are increasing, or is it that the prevalence of people, you know, seeking help or not seeking help is increasing? Is it awareness, you think, or is it an increase in prevalence, or both?
I'd love to be able to say that I think there's an awareness in treatment and more people coming forward. I think our drinking levels have increased, if I'm honest. It's very, very hard to know exactly. It's good if people come for treatment, because obviously there's a huge stigma associated with addiction and all these problems. But I think our alcohol use is on the increase. I think that's certainly reflective of what we're seeing on the ground.
Yeah, and in terms of, you know, for many families, they won't need to know the answer to this, but what are the implications for alcohol addiction? What does it create? Where do we begin?
Oh, where do you begin and where do you end? You get a whole lot. I think we talk about the biopsychosocial. So you can affect your mental health. In simple terms, your mental health, your physical health and your social health. Everything takes a tumble when you have a problem with addiction. It destroys families. It's awful. I mean, I work with people who have a wide number of problems in terms of problematic drug use. And I have no hesitation in saying that alcohol is probably among the worst of them in terms of the impact it has on family and society.
I want to bring in Michael Guerin there. Michael, as an addiction counsellor, what are your thoughts on the Health Research Board's report?
Good evening, Derval. And I'd just like to concur with absolutely everything that Garrett has said there. There is the alcohol is still the bread and butter of the addiction profession. And it's probably causes more problems than the other drugs, even though there would be a greater stigma associated with illicit drug misuse than there would be with alcohol misuse. And again, the increase of 10% in cases, I would like to think that it would be because of increased presentations, but I am more inclined to believe that it's more of a linear relationship with the incidence of alcohol dependence. So I think that the 10% reflects an escalation of the problem more so than people coming forward, because they are more willing to access services and such. And the report makes a reference to 6 out of 10 people who are accessing services being classified as alcohol dependent. And I take that to mean that 4 out of 10 were not classified as being alcohol dependent. And I can rarely remember a case myself over 20 years where I've seen somebody accessing treatment who wasn't an alcohol dependent person, or who wasn't, for that matter, as we would refer to sometimes, fully blown alcoholic. So I think on the whole, COVID may have had something to do with it, because we were under huge stress and strain, and drinking moved from social settings into the home, where it was more widespread, there was less portion control and so on. And drink is a very, very real issue for us. in the same way that cocaine is now emerging as a huge issue.
But don't we look at it differently, Michael? You know, we've had a big national conversation through the Citizens Assembly on drugs and, you know, debates about, you know, legalisation, decriminalisation. But here is what many experts would say is a drug that is legalised. It's taxed. We have a different perspective on it. But psychologically, it has a huge impact on the person and on those who love them.
Absolutely. And drink misused or somebody who is addicted to alcohol is absolutely as harmful and destructive to the person and to his or her family as any of the illicit substances that we can think of or any of them that we may be considering decriminalising in the future, which incidentally is something I think we should do. And it would be a way of breaking down and destigmatising substance misuse, which is a real issue for a lot of families throughout the country.
Garrett, I just want to bring you back in there. To what extent is gender significant, I suppose, just for alcohol, but also for drugs more generally? Is it more of a male issue or a female issue? What are you seeing on the ground?
Yeah, that's a great question, Derval. I have to say in my own clinic, I would say it's right down the middle. And if anything, it's probably a preponderance more towards females who present for alcohol. One of the worrying things, I think, is that I see too few females presenting for treatment for drug problems, as in, like, particularly cocaine. It's nearly ostensibly men. Now, you could think, well, that must mean that the prevalence of use must be much greater in males and females. That's probably true. But I think there are a lot of women out there who need treatment. Now, this raises another problem, and that is that the goalposts sort of change for females. There's a greater stigma for childbearing mothers particularly. I know some people have told me, listen, I'm not going for treatment because I'm afraid of, you know, maybe getting a referral to a social services. You know, it isn't quite the same, particularly illicit drugs. Not the same regarding alcohol. Funny enough, I'm only speaking personally from my own work. Women freely will come forward and you know, address an alcohol problem in a way that they don't with drugs. I think that's worrying. I think there's a hidden population of female, certainly cocaine users out there. I do treat a few, but just so few relative to the number of males presenting.
Michael, what needs to be done in terms of, you know, resources that are going to be required to address the increase in people with alcohol addiction, which of course can often be a gateway to the misuse or abuse of other substances?
Yeah, well, I mean, we have two very distinct and real issues here, Derval. First of all, we need to put more resources into treatment, and we need to take a long, hard look at our national drugs policy, as was pointed out to us by the Citizens Assembly and the recommendations that they put forward. So that's in terms of taking care of individuals who are problematically using alcohol and drugs at the moment. But to really get a handle on the escalation of alcohol use and the absolute explosion in cocaine use that has taken place in Ireland over the past 5 years, we need to, as a matter of urgency, implement a robust and fit-for-purpose education and prevention initiative in junior cycle at secondary schools, because the ages that young people, there are young men presenting to services now at 20 and 22 years of age, telling us that they have been drinking and using cocaine since the age of 15.
And finally, Garrett, just on that, look, I mean, it can be very, very complicated when you're dealing with people who are struggling with addictions, often multiple addictions. Are doctors fully prepared for this? You know, there's a social dimension, a clinical dimension. Is more needed in terms of training for doctors?
Yeah, that's a great question, Derval. I mean, there is no specialist pathway in Ireland, certainly. I mean, in other countries, they're more further down the road in terms of certainly addiction medicine. I suppose the one role a doctor does have, and I've views on this where, I mean, I think more and more nurses actually should be able to prescribe. Some of my colleagues will probably disagree with me. But we do have a problem, and that is I've had patients even recently where they need an inpatient alcohol detox, you know, what commonly people would call drying out. We don't have those facilities in this country. And these are people, as Michael, we were talking about alcohol dependence. People are severely alcohol dependent, meet the criteria for needing Librium, because if you don't, you can get things like DTs and seizures, etc. And we end up sending them to, and it's very hit and miss, to the emergency department of all places. Great place to treat them in a hospital, and the right place to treatment.
But no proper
follow-up. No.
I think, no, well, Garrett, I'm afraid that's all we have time for. I just want to say thanks to Michael Guerin and to Dr. Garrett McGovern. It is almost 20 past six. Let's take a very quick break.